Hi, folks. Welcome to the Brother Hal Show. Mighty nice to have you. We've got some country music for you today. And we've got the time and the temperature and a little bit of news to keep you up to what's going on in the world. However, I'll tell you, I believe you could just leave the news off and people would enjoy it better. Nothing but old bad news everywhere you turn. Hurricane and now in Carolina. Here we've got a big old cyclone over here and we've got an earthquake yonder. I'd just soon not hear the news. But we've got plenty of country music. So come on in here for the Brother Hal Show. Now that hurricane in South Carolina, I sent a little money into the Red Cross for that because them Southern folks, and them Southern folks, we got to take care of them. But I didn't send no money to that hurricane bunch. I mean, that bunch in California. Now, that's the richest state in the Union. And they don't need no poor man helping them rich folks. They got plenty of money out there. I believe in giving to those that don't have. And I know some of them got pretty bunged up. But now let them take care of California. You know, I never have been overly fond of California anyhow. I mean, there's too many peculiarities out there in that part of the world. I never have really... You know, when I think of the United States, I don't really include California in it. Because they're so odd and strange and weird and queer and all that, you know. I just don't want much to do with it. But now you let South Carolina, North Carolina get in trouble, old Brother Hal's going to be there to do a little help. Now we got this. Somebody just called up a while ago, said, y'all be ashamed saying you'd help South Carolina during a hurricane, wouldn't help them people over in California during their little earthquake. Well, I tell you, I just wonder how much California money would come into Arkansas when we have our earthquake. They'll say, oh, we ain't going to send them rednecks no money. They're so far down the line from us. We can't waste our money on them people. That's what they'd say. Yeah, they'd look down our nose. That bunch of people, you know, they're so far behind us. Yeah, we're way behind them. We don't have our streets heat up with dope and crime. Man don't have to drive 8,000 miles to do a little hunting. Yeah, we really got it bad down in the South, don't we? Them people step on each other all the time. They've been stepped on so much they don't pay no attention when they get stepped on. All packed up there like sardines, going around smoking them dopes and talking nasty. I just can't get the sympathy built up for that California. I can't a good Southern state. Now we got something else here. You know, no matter how small a town, there's always that little group of folks that think they're high society. You know, they're the kind of snoopy people, and, oh, they walk a little different from the rest. I don't care if there's only 40 people in a town, there'll be about four of them that think they're the high society folks. Now, Bowlegs is no exception. We got our so-called elite, our upper crust, our blue stocking group in Bowlegs. And I just noticed that in this little paper I get, the Bowlegs banner comes out once a week. I get that delivered to me. And here's an item. It says, now get this. The Ladies Culture Club met last Monday afternoon at the lovely home of Mrs. Frank Nottingham. Mrs. Gwen Holt read a paper on the spiritual transformation of Thomas Carlyle as evinced from the latter works. That was followed by a lively discussion on the influence of papal liturgy on French poetry. Afterwards, refreshments were served in the drawing room, consisting of pinto beans, pickled pig's feet, fried okra, hot cornbread, and buttermilk. They might be high society till it comes to the eating, and then they eat that Bowlegs diet just like everybody else did. I laugh when I see something like that. I don't like pretentious folks. Now we got this. You know, I was reading one time about people in Boston and people in New England who take great pride in tracing their ancestry back to the people that came over on the Mayflower. Oh, they are blue noses. I mean, they don't talk to ordinary folks. Do you know anything about the people that came over on the Mayflower? Folks, that was about as sorry a bunch of human beings. They were Puritans, they call themselves. Now, we have it in our history books that them people came over here for freedom of religion. I'm going to tell you how much freedom of religion they wanted. They wanted freedom of religion for themselves. But you know what? Once they got over in this country, they'd burn people if they didn't agree with the way they ran Baptists completely out of New England. Didn't you know that? They ran the good Quakers out, put them in jail. They hanged a bunch of people for witches. They weren't tolerant people. Them old Mayflower folks was about as sorry a boatload of people as was ever sent to this country. And we walk around, talk about Thanksgiving and the Puritans walking through the snow and eating with the Indians and all that, you know. And we all proud of it. I ain't proud of them. I'm proud of that bunch that come on later and did some work. That's right. If I had somebody who was if they told me I had an ancestor who come over on the Mayflower, I'd say, you're lying to me, boy. Don't accuse me of nothing like that. You get in a fight quick. That wasn't our best bunch of folks. Now this. Jefferson Davis, who was the president of the Confederacy, had them Mayflower people nailed to the wall. He made a speech during the Civil War about them. He said they're troublemakers. He said they were always troublemakers. He said the people of New England, their ancestors came to this country from the bogs and the fens of northern England and Ireland. And he said they were troublemakers in England. They went over to the Netherlands. They were troublemakers there. And when they come into this country, they were troublemakers there. He let them have it, you know. And he was about right on it, too. So you can trace your ancestors to the Mayflower. You ain't bragging too much. Vic, what have we got over here now, buddy? I brag on old Dr. Holmes. Dr. Holmes was a pure old country doctor. And he saved many a life, and he delivered every baby within 50 miles of Bow Lakes. Wonderful old doctor. And I guess his greatest accomplishment in his mind was that little 3-bed hospital that we put in just before he died. That was his dream, to have a little hospital for Bow Lakes. But, of course, he had his problems, too. I remember one time Wally Carmichael got awful sick. And Doc put him in that little old hospital in Bow Lakes. And he went in to see him every day, you know. He had been in that hospital about 3 days, and old Doc went in there one day, and he bent real close to old Wally. He said, Wally, I might as well tell you now, there's not much hope for you. I've done all I can do. Is there anybody else you want to see? Wally said, yeah, Doc, there is. Doc said, who? Wally said, another doctor. You know Wally lived through that. I don't know what was wrong with him. I think as much as anything, his liver got eat up by alcohol. I guess that's what it was. But he lived through it. Last time I heard, he's still drawing a pension from the government. Now we've got something else for you. Hey, Vic, that was pretty good quail we had last night for supper, wasn't it? You know them quail been in that doggone old freezer, I guess, for over a year. I forgot we had any quail left. I thought I'd eat up all my quail, you know, back here back in the summer, but the old woman come across that little bunch of them. Now, I'll tell you how to preserve quail. You put them in a milk carton, and you put one in a milk carton and put some water in there and put it in your freezer and let that freeze. Then you take another one and put him in there and put some water on him and let him freeze. And let each one of them freeze separately so that they don't touch each other. And they're just surrounded by ice, you see. And them things will keep 3 or 4 years if you do that. And she thawed them little boogers out. They were pretty good-sized quail, too, wasn't they, Vic? Them was all old buck quail. Them things... That big one you had, I bet that thing, when I killed him, I bet he weighed 3/4 of a pound. He's a big old rascal. Old Vic got that piece of meat up in his face, and I never heard a dog eat meat like he did. He just growled and grunted, you know, and snarled, and just made awful racket. He embarrassed all of us. But it sure was good. And now this. Talking about old-time doctors. You know, back in my daddy's time, a doctor would prescribe medicine for animals as well as people. Yes, sir. In fact, a lot of the patent medicines that you would buy in those days would have on the label, good for man or beast. That's right. And you know that old liniment they'd make for horses was better than the liniment they'd make for a man. It'd burn you up, but it'd do a lot better for... My daddy never put just human liniment on me. If I had an old sprained up back or a knot in my legs, he'd get that bottle of old horse liniment down. Boy, put a little of that on you, turn your skin as red as a Detroit beet. But it'd get you up and out and nothing. But I remember one time an old boy named Caldwell come to see Doc Holmes. He said, "Doc, my wife has got the vapors. I need to take her a bottle of medicine." Doc said, "I got something pretty good for vapors." And he mixed up her prescription. Doctors made their own medicine a lot of times in them days. And he got a bottle and filled it full of that stuff for his wife's vapors. And then just as that fellow's getting ready to leave, he says, "Say, Doc, I believe my mule is about to have strangles, too. Got something for strangles for my mules?" Doc said, "Oh, yeah, I'll fix you something up." And he gave him another bottle. And old Caldwell said, "Now, you make sure the labels on them bottles is clear, Doc. I don't want to get them mixed up and give my wife that mule medicine." Doc said, "Oh, it wouldn't hurt her if you did." Caldwell said, "Well, I ain't worrying about her, but I got to get that mule well for spring planting." Now, that happened just as sure as a little boy smells bad. Now, that happened, Vic. You sit over there shaking your head all you want to, but that happened. And now this. Something you never hear people having nowadays is dysentery. Have you heard of anybody having dysentery in 10 years, Vic? Don't have it anymore. That used to be one of the most common things. It would just weaken you so much. You would just constantly go into the bathroom. I mean, people would lose 40 or 50 pounds. I've seen big men, 200-pound men, waist down to 100 with dysentery. Hard to cure. Lord, there wasn't much. And, boy, they'd leave the back door open because if somebody come in and shut that door, that old boy with that dysentery, he'd take that door off of hinges. Boy, they got good. Some of them, they could hit a dime at 20 feet. Oh, that was awful. Dysentery. I'm so glad we don't have that anymore. Lots of things we don't have nowadays. Hookworm. Hookworm was a terrible thing back in the old days. That's because we had privies and we had livestock and things weren't as sanitary. Listen, folks, we've got so much going for us nowadays. If we just had some good politicians to run the country, some good statesmen instead of some old greedy buzzards up in Washington, we just had the right people up there, this country could just bloom like a rose. That's the only thing wrong with this country. We don't have the leadership that we need. Good, dedicated people, not out there with his hand stuck out, not taking them old PAC monies, not just taking care of the rich boys and his buddies, you know. If we could just get them good, but we got this thing made. The Russians are losing ground all the time. We got the world by the hind leg, and we don't know it. If we could get good leadership. But I don't guess that's intended. Now this. You know, folks, I guess human nature being what it is, and it ain't much, and I doubt if it's ever changed a whole lot, but if we just could get ourselves straightened out in this country, because them Russians, is like I said, they're dropping like flies over there. They can't feed themselves. They don't know what to do. If we could just get this country straightened out and get that debt kind of knocked down and get our medical problems solved so that we've got 53 million people in this country don't have medical insurance. Every other major industrial country in the world has it fixed to where people at least get some kind of medical insurance. But we got people that just can't get medical insurance. And they don't know or have a way out. The only way they can get relief is to go bust. You know, a man can have a pretty good setup. If he don't have medical insurance, these old doctor bills could kill him, and he has to become a pauper before he can get some government help. And that there ought to be a way out of that. I don't understand why there shouldn't be. Maybe we better not get such sophisticated medicine and have some more of that old-timey medicine and not try to put people in these million-dollar machines every time they go up there with a tummy ache. Get away from that. Good, solid, old-fashioned medicine don't cost so much. But we got ourselves some problems. Now this. Character. If I had to put my finger on what's wrong with America, it's lack of character. We're not teaching character in school. We're not teaching it in the home often. Now, I was taught that the worst thing a man could do was to steal, take what didn't belong to him. And the second worst thing was to let somebody else take care of him. You know, we just didn't want nobody to take care of us. We stood on our own feet. And if somebody had, you know, somebody got in bad shape, then we'd come in there, we'd take care of ourselves. Didn't depend on the government. And everybody wants a piece of the government money. Well, the government money ain't nothing but our money that's been filtered through them old politicians' hands. But nowadays, nobody, you know, wants to stand up. I don't need nobody to help me. I'll take care of myself. You don't hear people saying that like I remember folks doing. No, you don't need to do nothing for me. Listen, I'm doing all right. Come around here with no charity looking me in the eye. I didn't ask you for nothing. Now, when people need it, we saw they got it. We need some people with some backbone in this country. Vic, if you don't play a Victrola record, I ain't gonna ever quit this sermon. Play something on the Victrola. Now, that's something I can say about the little town of Bowlegs I was raised in. We was a proud bunch of people. It surprised me to see a man begging on the street one time. We didn't have nobody begging on the street. But one time an old beggar showed up, and of course he was a novelty. People were stopping and giving him money. We'd never seen a man out begging before. And he looked pretty bad, too. I remember I gave him a dollar. When a dollar was as big as a wagon wheel, that's a lot of money. I dropped a dollar in this little can. I said, lot of luck, buddy. Next day, he run up to me and he stuck a bunch of money in my hand. He said, here's your money. I said, what in the world? He said, lots of luck paid 6-1 at the races. He wasn't a beggar. He was one of them doggone old bookies. We run him out of town after we got our collections off of him. What have we got now? I've got to get on back to the house here in a little while. I left Wallace at the house. I believe that boy's got scarlet fever. Have you ever had scarlet fever, Vic? Well, don't come by my house for a couple of days because I believe Wallace has got it. You know, that scarlet fever, you can lose your hair. You can get bald-headed over that. Sure can. That boy's got a good bushy head of hair. He's got more hair in his ears than a lot of people got on their head. I'd hate to have a little old kid, 43 years old, run around bald-headed. I've seen little old kids lose all their hair from scarlet fever. But I've got some red medicine I got over at the drugstore. I believe that might do it. Remind me, Vic, before I leave now, to take that over there to that druggist, will you? Now this. I was hoping to get in a little fall fishing. And I will. I'll get in a little fall fishing. I love my crappie fishing in cold weather. Not real bitter cold, but I like a nippy day. I'll catch me a mess of crappie. And boy, they are sweet when they're coming out of cold water. Crappie in the fall tastes better than crappie any other time of the year. Them things, that meat is firmer on them. You go crappie fishing, you'll see what I mean. Well, folks, I guess I'd better leave you. We've got things to do today, and I guess you have too. Take good care of yourself. See you in the morning.